The March 25th Labor Committee meeting to order. We'll do a roll call quick. Sean Meskey.
Fernando Alvarado.
Kathy Schwantes.
Vicki Davis.
Samantha Beckman.
All right. Thank you for coming this evening. Item 2 on our agenda is public comment. I see no one from the public who wishes to comment this evening. So we'll move to item 3, part-time employee pay schedule. HR Director Beckman.
Okay, I have in your packets the proposed 2019 part-time employee pay scale, along with the previous two, the 2018 and then the 16/17 one. There was nothing formally adopted last year, so this 2018 one, I guess, wasn't formally adopted, but the only thing I did change on it was an increase in the step one, because minimum wage for Minnesota did increase last year. Otherwise, I believe the last officially adopted one was the 16/17 scale. So, I've been working on this for the last couple weeks with our department heads and the administrator and several people to convert this to a step system rather than what it was before, with kind of a range for each step, which just left it ambiguous and inconsistent. So making it actually steps, I eliminated a lot of the positions that we no longer have hired, separated by department, of course, and then added in some new positions that we didn't have on the previous one. Just with the WCER breakup, and we now have a recreation department, that got an overhaul too. So working with Rob, we decided we're going to call everyone Parks and Rec staff, whether they're doing concessions at any of the locations or working at the community center or the gun range. And then above that, we'll have a Parks and Rec leaders and Zamboni drivers, two separate positions. They're just on the same pay scale. And then also the lifeguards and officials will have their own pay scales too. As you can see, we've had previous years as well. So only thing that's been changed is the increase, of course, to correspond with minimum wage. That did go up again, 1/1/19, so that's why there's a change there, too. I added a step 5, and otherwise nothing, no maximums have been increased either. You still end up at the same place at the end of the scale. The only major change is with the pay for the election judges. That will have no impact on the 2019 budget. We have no elections in 2019, so this will only affect the 2020 budget, is when we have our next election year. So those are the next two pages in your packet. I'll put that here for now. Our clerk was requesting an increase to those pay scales. She did a survey of nearby townships and saw that we are below all of them, except for one, in our pay. So we're definitely behind the ball there. So her proposal would increase the election judges' pay from 11 or 12 after their first election, it goes to 12. It would increase that to 15. The assistant head judges would go from 13 to 18, and the head judges would go from 15 to 20. So that is a major change to the part-time pay scale. But it looks like, according to her memo she sent out, it hasn't been increased in several years, and we are also well below the other townships in comparison, which would make sense why we were having such a hard time finding election judges last year. Mm-hmm. And it overall, if things all stayed equal in 2020 for those elections, it would be an increase of about $14,000 for the year. But again, that's 2020. That's nothing to do with this year. Mm-hmm. But we figured since we're doing an overhaul, we might as well increase it now, if that is the will of the committee and council.
Councilor Alvarado.
Thank you, Chairman. I was looking at the part-time employee scales, and how do they... Is like step 1 year 1, step 2 year 2?
Yes. Yep. Okay. They would, the increase would happen on their anniversary date when they would move to the next step.
Okay.
In the past with these ranges, how were those ranges determined? I mean, where it would put you on it?
Right.
Was it arbitrary?
Fairly inconsistently, okay. Because we did have the WCER also, so depending on who was hiring them for what position, it was not consistent.
I was going to say, I really like the one number,
yes,
thing to maintain that consistency amongst, yep, the employees.
Exactly. And the employees who end up returning or current, there are still some who are current, will be moved to the closest step on the pay scale when they do hit their anniversary date. So it will take about a year to get everyone in consistent with this pay scale. But yes, that will be the overall goal, is to get everyone on these steps.
What happens in year six?
So this then would be the max. This would be maxed out.
If they do a cost of living increase, are they eligible for that in these positions, or is this basically hourly positions and that is the maximum hours?
That is something we could look at, like doing in 2020, look at all of them overall and decide if we want to do a cost of living to the part-time skills.
But it's always, traditionally it's been, you hit the max, it's just, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm just wondering what the history on it was.
Okay, yes.
Other questions, yes.
Are there some officials that have been here for like forever?
I believe so. I mean, with that saying off the top of my head, I know we've had some who've been here many, many years. More than 5 years.
Right. So the max that they'll be at is the $45.
Yes, which is what they have been at.
Well, that
4 years, I should say.
Why is that? That's a very considerable 5-year jump compared to all the other positions.
Yes, and that is to take into account. You'll see we had them split up under basketball, softball, and volleyball, and then hockey and soccer. Excuse me, separately. We could probably separate that out if you'd like to for the hockey specifically. it's usually only the hockey that ever gets that high. The other sports officials, it usually does not get that high. So we could separate out the hockey. We were trying to minimize the amount of titles and positions we had on there. But we could separate out hockey officials.
Is there a reason hockey officials are so much different priced? Is it harder to get them?
And that's the going rate is much higher, significantly higher than the other sports. It's just that much more difficult and that much harder, more harder to find.
Okay, and so just a question on those, if you were to be separate them, how many basketball, softball, volleyball officials do we get compared to how many hockey and soccer? Because, I mean, that could be, I don't know how many of these officials we have, but that could be a significant number, I suppose.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll be retained because they're thinking $45 maybe isn't so bad. 5 years and you're sitting at that, or they could only be at 20 or no, 30 on the other lane. I don't know.
Yeah, and I can find that out. I do not know how many officials we have in each sport either, but I could get that information.
Because I guess I just don't, if it's just the allure, that's what it is, you have to pay them more because you can't get them.
Yeah.
That's another story, but maybe we get these other ones without much issue and pay them considerably less. But
And with hockey, I'm not a hockey dad or anything like that, but do they have more tournaments for the different ages? And
yeah, hockey grandma.
So I don't know if that requires them to be on the ice more or versus a softball game, you know, you do that. Mm-hmm. But I think the league, I mean, obviously you're refereeing a lot of games, mm-hmm. going from one to the next. I don't know.
Sure. Well, that's something we can easily add, is specify hockey officials separately than the rest of the officials and change that. We can do that.
Well, but Sam, in the same vein, I mean, if we're trying to get to a system where there's equity amongst the system, if there's no other rhyme or reason other than the fact it's really hard to find a hockey official,
mm-hmm.
I have no real complaint with giving the same amongst all officials. I just don't know if the only reason is it was hard to find them in the past. I don't know if that's a reason to pay them more necessarily.
And I know it is the market rate.
Yeah.
So that is what they're making other places.
How about the other officials, though? I mean, what do you pay for a typical softball official?
I think that would be interesting to see.
Because
if $30 is the going rate, I hate to jump them to $45 though, and then
I'm sure.
You think how many hours of ball or whatever we're playing, that could add up pretty fast.
Sure, but if they have the same issue and it's hard to find them as well, so I have to rely on your expertise here because I have no expertise in here whatsoever. But that's the only one I see that jumps up to me of a pretty big jump for those other types of officials.
I would just like to say I really like what you've done with this, and I appreciate the time and effort that you put into doing it. But I agree, it cleans things up. And I didn't know we had fire hydrant painters, so
I know.
Somebody's doing it, but is it its own job? I like that you combine things together. So,
yeah. And Harrison Township probably has no problem getting election judges.
And I, and I think that we should do a lottery for who gets to drive the Zamboni. Like oh, but maybe they should be highly trained.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Should encourage training for that one.
But thank you.
Yes.
Well done.
Other questions about the pay scales at this time? Was this something, Samantha, you were trying to get out at the next meeting? Or
just prior to the busy season starting, which will be in about a month or two. So no rush to push it till April 1st, but that's up to you.
Well, can we just basically for officials, if you find that, I mean, just take a look at them. And if it doesn't look like, well, actually, if the going rate looks like in those other sports, it's topping at about 30, put a scale where that gets to the same place. But if it looks like, you know, if you find differently, send out the committee a thing, because I think you could probably put this together. Because everything else looks fine on here, as far as I was concerned. But
So on the first or
you can. I think you can. If you can research that quickly and find if $30 is about the going rate for softball and those other ones, or did you want to wait another 2 weeks?
I'm just wondering how it would go. If it would be better overall if there was a recommendation from this committee in minutes to approve it as presented, just for facilitating it going
forward. That's what I was going to suggest. You make a motion now to approve it with that particular piece that we can change on the fly.
All right, so moved.
Second. Okay. Motion made and seconded to again move forward the recommendation of these part-time employee pay scales, with the one caveat that if we discover that the officials of these other sports are at a $30 range, that we'd see an additional range. Otherwise, we would move forward with the $45 cap at year five. That's a very convoluted motion, but there. Let's move the second. Any further discussion? Seeing none in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Does carry. So we will see that on the agenda for the first.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Item four, the employee personnel policy. HR Director Beckman.
Next, we have the first three or so pages of hopefully our soon to be updated personnel policy. Some history on the one we have. It hasn't been updated in full in several years, just been updated kind of piecemeal. So this is going to be the start of an overhaul, an update of that. It also basically lists just about every city policy we have all in one document, which is cumbersome. And frankly, no one takes the time to read the whole thing because it is so overwhelming. So the personnel policy or handbook is going to condense them into smaller versions of the policy. The policies will still exist in full, but they will be kind of stored separately for people to review if they need to dig into a certain policy more specifically. So the handbook I got from the League of Minnesota Cities website. They usually recommend that you start with that as the skeleton for the policy and just tailor it to your specific city individually. It's been created by their HR department and vetted by all of their attorneys, so it's a great place to start. So that's what I have for you here. Everything here is word for word what they have as the league recommends you use in your policy language, except for the two sentences on the first page. I bracketed those for you, and those came directly from our currently existing personnel policy, which is the next five pages that you have. It has section 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. That's the policy we have now. So these are the pages that the first three pages of our handbook are replacing, if that makes sense. So, first page we have the introduction, the purpose, the scope, and the EEO policy, and the data practices advisory. So those four paragraphs or four sections are replacing these six pages of our current personnel policy.
Brilliant.
And we're just gonna take it chunk by chunk and go through it there. So I know it's a lot. I don't know if you want to read through it all right now, take a few minutes, or how you want to approach this.
Well, this one I think we will probably need to take till the next meeting to digest,
sure.
Think.
Yep, that's fine.
Because there's a lot of
yep.
verbiage, but I think paring it down like that into a much more usable document is you are definitely on the right trail there.
Right.
All right. Is people are in agreement with that, unless you feel like you can read it now and go on the fly?
I think.
I will confess I did not read it in detail because I was looking for where is the highlighting of what was.
Oh, here we go.
Then in light of that, I will say that is exactly how we will proceed.
Okay.
And so you're planning to do this, extra pieces are going to come on board and we'll condense those as well.
Yep. And so, so those sections, the purpose, the scope, the EEO, data practices, that's all replacing what we currently have here. It's a lot less wordy. A lot of this is kind of redundant and frankly out of date. The 2.6 personnel access and data privacy still references the records being maintained in the finance department, which hasn't been done in years. So a lot of that I'm just scrubbing and getting rid of, things like that. The only significant changes between the old policy and the new ones are the scope. I'm not sure why, but under the scope, we had exempted from our policy our volunteer firefighters, which they should not be exempted from our personnel policies. So that is a major change, but that is the way that it should be. Because volunteers are exempt from the personnel policy, and it's kind of a misnomer to call them volunteer firefighters. They are actually paid on-call firefighters, city employees. They should be subject to our personnel policy.
Sure.
So that's the only major change beyond, of course, reducing the amount of words put into it. But yeah, I'll give you all of those to read through in detail, make sure that's what we need. Otherwise, the media requests and the personal communication and social media policy are brand new. We do not currently have a city policy referencing those two, so those are brand new. The media requests, for the purpose of the handbook, I condensed it to 3 paragraphs, but then at the end there, you'll see the policy in full that I propose we add.
Was the personal communication use of social media, was that all lifted from
Yep, and I left that one in full because that does apply to every employee in some form or another. The media request doesn't necessarily come up for every employee on a day-to-day basis, so that's why I condensed it and put the policy in full, where people can still access, but it just didn't make as much sense to have the full policy in a handbook.
Councilor Schwartz.
Thank you. I'm just wondering why we exclude different people. I'm thinking of, in particular, the social media. Why, or the equal opportunity, non-discrimination. I look at some of these and I think, shouldn't this apply to everybody? Whether we're council members or sitting on a civil service mission or...
Well, if you represent the city.
Isn't that... But
So I just want to make sure that this is... This 1.2 is being tossed out along with everything else? Or is it still...
1.2 is being referenced right there in scope. So the only thing that changed between... The 1.2 and here. The only thing that changed was the firefighters not being exempted from it. Otherwise, technically, they aren't enforceable with elected officials. If you were to violate one of our personnel policies, the discipline process we would go through doesn't apply to you. You can't be disciplined. You can't be terminated.
Well, you can under certain things. For the charter.
Right.
The charter.
Yes, the charter spells that out. Yes.
Right.
Not necessarily personnel handbook.
Even really the non-discriminating and sexual harassment and things like that. I mean,
those things, I think those things rise to charter. There are.
So.
Those are serious. I think they would actually fall under the jurisdiction of charter.
Yes.
You can't do whatever you want. Contrary to what others may believe, you can, as a council member, you are accountable to the electorate, but you are also accountable legally and all those other pieces that about the charter outlines where you can be disciplined. But I understand what you're saying. I don't know why you should be exempted from doing these things as well when you're trying to set the example and monitor our system.
It's the attorney and I have spoken some about this, and it's as far as the city attorney elected officials, you try to minimize the amount that they are treated as employees, truly as employees. Right. So I know that's also the thinking behind it. If you wanted to it wouldn't come from a handbook stance. It would come from the charter. It would come from the policies that you would set and make.
Or in January, in the organizational meeting, that's where we set our parliamentary procedure, which then forces the entire system to employ the whatever parliamentary procedure we put. It would seem appropriate at that point if you said, and we will adhere to X, Y, or Z, and then if a council agrees to do that, that's the council saying we will honor and do the same thing. That is probably where it would come in to play. That's just me talking. Because although I hear exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, it looks like, oh, I don't have to pay attention to this because I'm exempt from this.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, put what I want on my social media.
Well,
yeah. Slap you on the derriere, so be it.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah. Don't put that
on. You can't do that.
I think I'm even worse.
But how many politicians, you know, we can name that have... they should be examples of a higher standard, but have not raised that. But yeah, that should be, I don't know.
So it would be interesting to bring that up at the next organizational meeting of the council to say, you know, in addition to adopting rules, maybe we should also adopt that we too will practice the same level of discretion that we expect from our employees.
I think it would be great when people come on board to get on one of the committees to give them, this is what we expect for code of conduct.
Mm-hmm.
Even some training on parliamentary procedures and how you be a good board member and all of that. I think we should do something for onboarding and mm-hmm. orientation for our folks.
Mm-hmm.
I know I do that through extension, and I just think it's a good way to start people off on the right foot. But anyway, that's...
Well,
if the attorneys say don't include those folks, I'll respect that. That's what we pay them for. But
I think we can address it later, for sure.
And this, you know, you're the human resources director.
Yeah.
And I thought... The language was getting away from personnel more into human resources.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Is there?
Technically the league still also use the term personnel policy rather than most other places just call it a handbook. But that was also the terminology that the league recommended too. I don't know that there's a significant difference between the two, but
I think it's just personnel and human resources. I don't know if it's you value your human resources. Personnel seems a little more, you know.
Oh, clinical.
Clinical, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know if I... I know we used to have a personnel department, and now we've got a human resources department.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I guess it's just how you want to interpret it.
Yeah, my employer, we have an employee handbook.
Yeah.
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 So it's different. The words... do have a different connotation. So.
Absolutely. This is just the very beginning. This is going to be a 30, 40-page document by the time we're done. It does dig into benefits, vacation accrual, and just code of conduct. And it digs into everything. So that's the part that's going to not be able to apply for these four
that
people.
Makes sense, so.
Yeah. So far, it is just more code of conduct things, which should apply to everyone. But I do not know how that is created or made. For board's code of conduct and elected officials' code of conduct, I don't know.
Again, the charter outlines the conduct of boards as well.
And members. Okay.
So I think that they are, again, going to fall back on charter city language. So it might be, I mean, if you wanted to make it an overarching document at some point, I suppose you could put sections of the charter in that would pertain to the other folks, and then everybody would be getting it, whether they're on a committee and or elected.
Mm-hmm. But and is that the Charter Commission who
the Charter Commission
updates
is in charge of the charter.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually, I've been waiting for this. I'm quite excited about the way you're doing this because we will now actually address policy, which is something I was hoping the council would do many, many times. So the fact that we'll go through all the policies of the personnel thing is awesome, and I applaud you for it. And I think then what we'll do is expect then every time we present a new section that we'll probably address it and give the time to think about it and address it the next time.
Perfect.
I think that sounds great.
Or at least now that we know
the method is what the extra stuff's coming out.
What it means.
Right. Did you want to speak some more about these ones?
I did want to ask then also, well, yeah, we can come back in 2 weeks and discuss this section and then how you would want to then take that to council in the same fashion or when we're all done, or I am open to whatever you would like to do.
I think we need to take it to the council in pieces as well. To receive all of those policies at one time will be probably overwhelming, would be my opinion. But
true.
Anybody have a difference of opinion? Okay, perfect. So we have some homework for next time. Next one is sick leave donation policy update.
Yes, okay. This one, I would like to update our sick leave donation policy. I was very fortunate that the League had actually already done a survey of 30 other cities and counties across the state and their sick leave donation policies. And we are actually very, very low. Out of the cities and counties they surveyed, 24 of them allow more donation than our city does. So we're definitely low compared to our peers. And so the first piece of updating this policy is we'd like to increase the amount that an employee can donate. Right now we're only allowing one employee is able to donate 16 hours per year per incident to an employee, and we'd like to increase that to 40. There is still the overall cap of no employee can receive more than 20 days total per incident. So by increasing the amount one employee can give, it has no effect on still the overall maximum they can receive is the 20 days. Out of the 30 cities and counties, 18 of them allowed 40 or more hours to be donated. So that seems like the happy spot to put it. We could, if you were interested, add in a requirement that you must still have a minimum of so many hours in your bank in order to donate. That was a very popular requirement that other cities had, just to make sure you're having a reserve for your own. That's something we could incorporate too. And then the other change to this policy would be allowing employees to pledge these hours before an employee hits zero. The requirement is you need to have 0 hours in your sick bank and vacation bank before anything can be donated. So this would allow employees to at least pledge that before they hit zero. So the employees who have a need would at least be able to plan better and know, I do have employees who would like to donate to me if I do need it. If they never reach zero, the hours will revert back to the donor and nothing changes. But then otherwise, once they do hit zero, they know they will have that kind of emergency to fall back on.
Questions? Yes.
We've got the no more than 20 days. Did they do an analysis of what was typical for other communities?
That one, there were, I can go back and dig through the survey. Some, I would say just about equal amount didn't have an overall max that could be donated, and some of the others did. I'll have to go back and I can dig into what their maximum donated amount, allowable amount was. Some did, some didn't.
4 weeks could go pretty fast when you're recovering from cancer.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Absolutely.
And so I would actually be interested in seeing that expanded. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I really like the idea of pledging beforehand, and I appreciate having a minimum that employees are required to have before they're able to donate.
Yeah, I was curious on that too, that threshold number of what they have out there.
Yeah. It was usually around 40 hours. You have to have at least a minimum of 40 in your own bank. But
a week seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, there can be pressure otherwise.
Exactly.
You're really a good friend, and I would love to give it to you, and I give you mine, and then I become sick, mm-hmm. and, you know, and so if I don't have that minimum, I would like to, but I just can't. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yet we still are an organization with a heart.
So we have the 20 days issue, the threshold, other questions.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
So next time, see and explore that the lower than 20 hours, and then maybe add language about the minimal threshold. Councilor Schwantes?
I do have a question, just out of my own curiosity. So if I'm being paid $10 an hour, but the person donating is paid $15 an hour, what rate do they get?
I can double check with finance. It's normally their own rate of pay that they would get. Mm-hmm. However, I did see one city, they did say it would be at the donated employee's rate of pay. It was very strange. Yeah. Huh. But I'm guessing they just did that for budgetary purposes. But yeah, I was only the only one I saw that did that. But it's normally at the receiver's rate of pay mm-hmm. that they're paid out.
I would say the only appetite I'd have for that is if it was an unlimited number then.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to start, in the case of where you're going to be doing this, you're talking about some horrible situation. And to sit there and go, oh, sorry, the person that gave it to you is a two-year employee, so you're going to need, instead of the 40 hours to meet what you would get paid normally, you're going to need to get 80 hours from that person. So if this was an unlimited, and I would be curious if where you saw that had the unlimited bank that they could be donated, because I could see that working there, but otherwise that just seems counterintuitive for what the days are for, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting. Didn't know, because it does create a
There's
budgeting issue or an inequity one way or another, either way.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Just an unfortunate time to be, in my opinion, doing that budget stuff would be, it's, the days are lost, they're lost, but.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
Anything else that we'd like to be looked at for the donation of sick leave policy? All right, very good. Number six, city administrator review and next steps. As you all are aware, Ike has put in his 90-day notice, and he'll be leaving us and heading back to Colorado. What day is that effective if the 90 day is?
June 18th is his last day.
Okay, June 18th. And so, of course, we do have the review that we were planning, and so we first need to address, are we going to continue to do that planning process, and I would assume we're also then going to have to discuss what we plan to do for next steps in that position. So let's start first with the review. As the chair, I'll tell you, it seems maybe something that we shouldn't probably engage in if we really don't need to do that, as he has set an end date, and I think we'll honor that. Mm-hmm. So is there anybody who wishes or have the counterpoint that we should continue with the review process?
I don't think we should.
All right, then. Do we need a motion for that?
Do you have a recommendation? Are you?
That would be my recommendation. There's really no point. Unless you wanted to try to make it more of a send-off, a thank you, you know, on the 29th is what the date we'd set for his review. That would be appropriate, but there's really no point.
do we need that as a motion from this committee? Because we brought forward to do it in a motion of when to do it, so I think we probably should appropriately send likewise another motion saying we're done.
Then I'll make a motion that we dismiss the administrator's performance review in light of his resignation.
Second.
It's a motion made and seconded. Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. Thank you. Next steps, the other part. Did you have some?
Yes, this wasn't in your packet, so that's why I gave you a hard copy now, because I actually just received it today. Over the weekend, I had this company, as well as I think a few other council members, reach out to them offering recruitment services. So I just printed off their brochure. This was not the company that we used previously, but just another option, so I decided to print it out and bring it to the committee. I believe we had used a search committee last time.
Was Springstead used for this?
I assumed so.
I believe so as well.
Prior to Drown and Associates?
Correct. And okay. Charlene Stevens might be...
She is an employee of this
company. I thought I just saw that. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. This was sent to me by a different representative, though... independent. I actually, Charlene never reached out to me, but okay. I saw she'd reached out to other council members, but an associate directly reached out to me for this quote. So I know that's the route that we went last time, So if you have, I know Springstead, and I'm sorry, what was the company you said?
That was last time.
Drown and Associates.
I was going to say,
I can reach out to...
Well, that process didn't go as well company? As I think okay. we had hoped it would. The candidates we had, I mean, and it Wilmer was in a different spot, perhaps, and you could argue that, but the process seemed like we're missing some things.
Okay.
Employees are really, really great on paper, and the process didn't work as well. Hmm. But okay. For those that were here, maybe you can add, but Springstead, we used that before, but we had Larry Cruz through that process. I wasn't here when we hired Charlene. I don't know what process was used there. That was before my time.
I don't know for certain, but Springstead has a very good reputation for doing this, and yep. I think we really need to bring in someone who's going to be able to do significant recruitment, that their company name will bear weight when they call and say, this community is looking. I think that's going to be important for us. We've come a long ways, and we're a different community today than we were 5 years ago. But it's still going to take significant recruitment efforts. I mean, I don't think it was a mistake that none of our applicants last time around were from the state of Minnesota, yeah. You know? So I think we need someone who's going to be able to tell our story. And I think we should look at doing some non-traditional types of ways of recruiting, like a video that tells our story and it's out there and they can share it with others. It's, you know, here are the great things that we've got going on and this is what we're looking for in our new administrator. And if you're up for the challenge, we'd love to hear from you kind of a thing. So I'd be interested in looking at a couple of different organizations, but I would want to focus on feedback as far as the number of different, how long they've been doing this work, different communities that they've recently done work in, to look at the size of the community, the success that they've had in filling that, and the longevity of the person stepping into those roles. So, you know, cost isn't my only concern here. I don't want to pay money we don't have to pay for it, but on the other hand, I think we're going to get what we pay for in a recruitment effort.
How much of a timeline do you think we should be exploring? I mean, we have an end date for Ike. I don't know if we have to go through a formal process. Are we planning to honor that full contract? I had heard rumors of some folks that think we shouldn't. I don't think that's probably the best move for Wilmer as we are trying to recruit. However, if we start doing something differently, like doing a video kind of a thing, that will take some extra time. And, you know, I don't want to bring this up, but I mean, at some point, if you're going to take more than a 3-month window here, is there the interim issue and that kind of thing that you draw on? So I'm curious, as we start to ponder how we're going to get out and search this, what kind of a time frame are we thinking about? Because we do have this firm June 18th, did you say? Mm-hmm. Date? Yeah.
I think that this ought to be a council-wide discussion that we have. You commented about whether we retain him for the full 90 days. You know, I come from a banking background, and when you give your notice, you are done that day. You're escorted out. And it's not because you haven't been a good employee or they're, you know, it's just a practice that is done. And I think when you get to a certain level, retirement is one thing, but ending and leaving is another thing. And so I think it's a conversation we should have with the full council and hear what other people also think. And
well, I think that's probably a fine idea. I'm just saying, as someone who has been on a council for 3 years and have hired 3 city administrators, we have a very bad history of retaining and maintaining those city administrators. And if we see one who said, I will give my 90-day notice, and then we up it and do it earlier than that, I will be an advocate for honoring, given the circumstances by which our city administrator is leaving, that we need to consider that, because that can send a chilling message out to the next person considering it. So we're going to need more, we'd need perhaps more than a video to get more applicants. So I will caution us as we move forward. But if it takes longer to put a video together, and we can give the everything and send us a positive message. But I have no problem if we wish to go and get the rest of the council involved in this, because they are all going to have to be involved in the hiring of that person. So I absolutely agree, but I will have an opinion.
I think it would be good to have the whole council here if we to have the position filled in 90 days is a pretty unrealistic expectation. Mm-hmm. Either way, we're going to need to have someone fill that chair for a period of time. So it would be good to have some brainstorming of how we might go about that. And
so, but I think what we can do right away is say, we're starting this process. Let's start the process of getting some quotes from some of these hiring firms and some of the information that Kathy had just talked about to start that process. That I think we can do right now and this evening is that we, and I know that we have been asked by some of the news media outlets, they go, what are we doing? What are we doing? I'm like, well, we are meeting this mm-hmm. evening to let you know how that'll work. So if what I'm hearing is correct, let's go with at least Springstead and this one you have here. And if there are additional ones, I don't know how you will find them out, but I would assume you can ask mm-hmm. around. The league may have ideas as well. But let's maybe figure out, do we have to get quotes from these folks? Is that the process that we would probably do?
That's what I would do. Yeah. And this was a good tool to ask what level, because you can see there's different levels mm-hmm. of recruitment. What amount do you want to outsource? And then also, I know last time we did have an interim and then an actual administrator later. So I'm assuming we go through the same company to first round hire an interim and then hire the actual, or what was that process?
The process with McGuire was he came recommended by the search committee. That did happen that way, but that was that case. And then, yeah, because Larry Cruz was a failed search, and it was that organization that gave us him.
Mm-hmm.
They were still under contract, so they
right,
had to give us
less than. Okay.
The McGuire came in under that. So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because yeah, they had a. We had a clause that it had to work for so many days, and
right.
it did not work that way.
Right.
So then they gave us McGuire.
Okay, so that was just someone they recommended to you, rather than here's a whole pool.
Correct.
Okay.
And McGuire was, he kind of does the interim
right.
thing.
Right. Okay.
What would your recommendation be, Sam? Because the last time we went through this process, we didn't have an HR director on hand, right?
Correct, absolutely.
And so we want to be respectful of all that you already have on your plate. And, you know, there's going to be a period of time where there isn't going to be someone in that chair, and I'm assuming there will be some of that will fall back on you in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, so what do you think would be wise? What would you say, I can do this, or I would appreciate having someone to work with me on this or that or whatever?
Sure. Okay. Well, and I highlighted the differences between the two options. I'm assuming we're looking at the top two mostly. I boxed off the differences between those two and the cost. I would see the cost difference between the two, but all of those things that I squared off between the differences between those two, all of those things I am more than capable of doing. And it would only need to be done, present the interview questions and things like that. It only needs to be done once for each 20 candidates. They're all going to be asked the same questions. So depending on the price difference, that is the second one then, is maybe what I would be leaning towards. But that's up to you. Do you want a consultant president at every interview, or would you rather it's only the city council and the HR director who they'll be working with in at the interview? That's kind of up to your preference too.
We never had that before, a consultant there at the interviews. So, and again, I don't know if that's wrong or right. It's just how it was. We didn't do mm-hmm. that before. And the fact that you are here, I would say that that's already a big difference than what we did last time. So I would concur. We're in different water now than we were before.
I'd like to know, it says candidate evaluation, top candidate selected. I'd like to know what that evaluation process all entails. It's got the reference check, social media, Google search. We've had the personality assessment that was done and was brought in as a tool, which I think is very effective and very telling. And I would like to see that done on our top candidates. I don't know that that's showing up in here, or if it's just tucked in.
Unless it's part of the evaluation.
Yeah, I wonder.
Well, that was what that other organization used.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like I said, some people scored really high on some of those that, and in a face-to-face thing, it was like, I didn't understand. There was some real inconsistencies. But there were some parts of it that were very, some of them were very telling. So, but it is more information. The more information you get, is better. So.
Right. True. It's leadership skills.
Absolutely.
You know, communication skills are a little more difficult to show on paper.
Yep. And that's where I say that was those questions I recall, specifically those communication ones. And it was like, they did not do a good job assessing what you were going to get for the communication skills. Leadership skills, I think, was pretty spot on. Well, maybe as you explore some of these other companies as well, we can get more of a snapshot of what you would think that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're comparing apples and apples of what we actually need. I think that's a really good approach, because this is why you're here. Yeah. I mean, there's even an HR in the title.
Yeah, and it will be good timing, because this is the final week. This is the deadline for employees to turn in their retirement notice for the early retirement program. So by the end of this week, I will know what my workload is going to be like.
Sure.
So
it's
good timing for that too. And yeah, what I'll be able to, how many positions we will be recruiting for, I should say.
Maybe they'll have a discount.
So are you getting a sense of that, Sam?
It's nothing officially. I've had several meetings with employees who, you know, are initially asking retirement questions. But again, nothing official. We have had some retirement reps here last week and next week. Last week, our deferred comp rep was here. Next week, our para rep is here, which, I mean, employees are obviously always interested in. So that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But he was booked for 2 full days last week. So it's hard to know for sure.
I think those are great things to do,
yeah,
regardless of.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's a great
annual
or every other year at the least.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we got good response. I'll definitely be doing that again. So, yeah, it's really hard to predict. I know there will be some, for sure, but as to how many.
Back to this, if I could.
Yeah.
Our official position is we're going to do a national search. And we will be exploring companies that we are going to approach.
Yep.
Our HR director will let us know what parts of this search part that she can accomplish with her load. And then the council will convene as a whole to talk about strategies at a future date. Is that where we are at?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else as far as that is concerned at this time? Yes.
Now, have you spoken with the league? Has the league, have you talked about the situation with the league, and what have they said, or
for recruitment strategies?
That or the, yeah, have they suggested anything as far as a temporary or?
Sure, I can reach out. I have not, so I can reach out to them, yeah, okay, and see if they have other companies they'd like to recommend in or strategies. I'm assuming we're hoping in the end run to find our final hire. We don't want to do one round of just finding an interim and then another round of just finding the actual final hire.
Right.
Okay. We're on the same page.
I would agree with that, yes.
We will need someone in the interim, I assume.
Well, if it goes over a 3-month window. But again, if we do an interim thing because we're preparing other things and doing this,
right,
I would love to see an end date
of when we are going to be hiring the person. Because otherwise, the temptation is with the money you save with an interim, we'll just milk that out a little bit longer. But truly, where Wilmer's sitting today, we have to have that position filled as soon as we can.
I'm not sure you really save any money in an interim. They're very expensive.
Yeah, it does tend to be
that. So maybe one of the things you could do for us, Sam, is a tentative timeline also.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Good idea. I was going to suggest that to him.
Yeah.
Took the words out.
And then I think what we'll do is, based on what we see there, I don't know if the council is going to want to talk about this right away on the 1st. I would recommend perhaps the next Labor Committee. And I know it's maybe that's too soon, but getting the whole council together to talk about the strategies of how we want to deal with this. Because I would really hate to do it at the council meeting. I think that's probably not a useful of our time there. I think a committee meeting is a better place, but also I want to be respectful of anything that we're talking about here, because we do want to deal with those policies coming forward as well, but we do need to get a process together and a plan that the council's all on board with.
Yeah.
Sure.
Timelines and process.
Right.
I can at least have quotes and timelines in 2 weeks.
Okay, so then. I think that's doable. If that's the case, then in 2 weeks, it would be my recommendation, and you can all tell me to wait 2 more weeks, but it'd be my recommendation that we reconvene a full council labor committee meeting to talk about the strategies to replace the city administrator.
Yeah. It's that important with what we have in our future.
So if we have more than one organization to do the search, do we want them here to actually do a presentation? I don't know if that's the norm or not, or is it just that evaluation?
It would make sense that you would do kind of an interview.
Well, I mean, normally you put out for quote and bids and you get the bids back. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have the people that are doing the bids show up, but in this case, if you can't get the information you need, then
I would be fine saying, Sam, we trust your judgment. If you feel like they're so similar that we should have somebody here to talk about them, or you know, to do a presentation, or if you say this one outshines the other one on their history or their longevity, whatever, then I think can we just leave it that way and we trust Sam's judgment on that?
I have no problem with that. Because I mean, I'm not familiar with this organization, but I mean, we did use Springstead before, and I think that's probably how Charlene was probably hired, and I'm thinking that is, and I know that they hired Larry. That wasn't the company necessarily that hired Larry Cruz.
Drowning and Associates did both.
Which one did?
Drowning did the last two.
He was not happy with that, if I recall. Because
the second time around, you guys didn't get charged for the search for Holland because Mr. Cruz left.
Right, and he was not happy about that. I remember that.
Yes.
Because that was the same one I did for the utilities as well.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where he told me what he thought about it. So I think
I can imagine someone's name was mentioned.
In the conversation. So we won't put that out there. But I think these two are good. I think we have a good rapport with. This one will be on your own to figure out this GovHR one. But if there's additional ones that you want to reach out to, I think you have that as your prerogative.
Okay. Is there any interest or in just at least posting it on our normal sites, the opening on our website and on MinWorks and all of that? Am I okay to do that? Okay. I was going to say, it doesn't hurt anything.
It's the number one place for people to go to get a job.
Yep, we do
so
indeed.
That's
and are you talking about posting that when?
Tomorrow.
Oh. You're talking about posting the job already.
Yeah. It would only be accepting applicants. You're under no obligation to hire them. You're under no obligation to interview them. But it would be posting an opening.
I see.
Then you get a feel for how many people are looking.
Yeah,
do
you never know.
Comfortable with the position description as it is.
Oh, I can bring that too, I guess, if you like. I assume it's been updated recently.
I think let's bring that to the full council thing to take a look at that. That's a good time to do it. And that's when we can talk about how people. I hear that as part of the the process planning, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes if someone has ideas of how to do it. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that that's definitely where we should be posting it.
Okay. All right.
Any other directions as far as the city administrator next steps? I think we have a plate set for dealing with most of those issues in 2 weeks then.
Yeah. When are we going to notify that council of our plan as far as...
Of having it in 2 weeks?
Yeah. I think there's an interest.
Oh, there is totally an interest. You know, do we want to... Sammy, can you... I don't know if they need the details of which companies we're considering.
No, I don't know about that, but
just that there is going to be...
save a date on your calendar.
Yeah,
we'd like to get the full council together on this date. Please save...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
This is what we've decided tonight.
Yeah. I send that out.
You know, this is what... To let them know that we've discussed it, we've got a plan in place so that they're not out there wondering what's going on. So
Sam will send out for the next meeting. She's going to send that out, email out probably tomorrow. And then they all know that in 2 weeks it's a full council meeting. Does that mean, and that meets our obligation of notification as well?
Well, mm-hmm. Right. And I think, I just think they want to know, with the committee structure, that the rest of the council wants to know what we're discussing as far as the process.
Yep. And we can let them, and if that email, if you would like to say what we just talked about, is that we're looking to do a national hire, we're investigating a couple committees. Our companies, and we're going to talk about process, timeline in 2 weeks.
Review the description of the...
Yep, job description piece too. Sorry.
You probably wish I'd just keep my mouth shut.
Kat, just want to keep talking.
No.
Okay, so we have community development that night also. If there is a meeting, do we want to flip it? So the community development is at 5:15. And the labor meeting follows because...
Could take longer.
I'm sure it'll take longer than an hour. And they would never know. Somebody has to come and appear at that. They would never know.
Well, that has to... what's our notification time frame when we have meetings? Because those are standing meetings.
3 days, right?
Yeah.
Then we're plenty of fine.
Yeah.
Let's make that recommendation. I don't want to step on community development's toes, but we can ask them if they have a problem with switching around. I have no problem with ours starting at 6:15.
Yeah, I think it would be fine, and plus the members on that would come to the other meeting anyway, so.
Okay. So it would only be council member Faggerly who would really need to change the schedule, because you're all here who are already a part.
Okay.
Yep, and that'll give the other council members can have dinner and come afterwards.
Yeah.
Good, thank you for bringing that up. All right. You got everything you need?
I have one more under miscellaneous.
All right.
If you want to go. just an update for our planning development director. So Ike and Councilmember Davis and Aaron Bachman and myself, we interviewed 3 candidates over the 13th and the 14th. We did have some great options and some great experience to dig through. And after those interviews, 3 out of the 4 interviewers, people conducting the interview, had rated Dave Ramstad as our number one choice for number one hire for the open position. And then that 4th interview panel member, actually, her top 2 candidates, they were within 1 point of each other. So the top 2 candidates were essentially a tie. So almost unanimously, the committee as a whole, though, did decide to pursue checking into Dave Ramstad, verified his employment and his references and his background check, and everything is completed and completely clear for that. So we are ready to make him a conditional offer upon approval of the council. So he is, I don't know how much detail you want me to go into, but he has his PhD in public policy and administration and has been an appraiser with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for the past 8 years. And prior to that, has actually a department head in Valley City, North Dakota, as in the Planning and Development Department for 6 years there, too. So that's experience in a nutshell. He also did have his master's in public policy, too.
How big is Valley City?
Oh, he mentioned that.
Did he say 7,000?
I want to say 7,000 or 8,000 people. Yeah. It's probably bigger now than when he was there.
Yeah.
I should look that up.
Good. Because he told us how big it was when he started, and it grew a lot.
Considerably. It was in the middle of all the oil explosion, and all that. Right. Yes.
And how long had he done that?
6 years. He was there.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's very good news.
He worked on Saturday.
Yes, yeah. Yes, he talked about some of the projects he had to do in a city growing that quickly. It was impressive. They did a, what did they say, a reappraisal of the entire city, I think, was his first project when he was hired on. Yep, it was a lot. But
do you know how many staff he had working for him?
He did say that, too. Is it three or four? Yeah, okay, we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
So yes, he is very excited. I've been working with him all last week, getting employment verified and references checked. And so yeah, that is the plan for April 1st.
I was going to ask, what is his first day of, what would be April 1st, but what is his first date he's available?
He is still talking about April 15th or 22nd when he would be able to start.
But the one thing was he couldn't live here.
Yeah, he couldn't move right away. Yep, he was needing to get some things settled before he could move. So he had talked about he will move, but it was going to be sometime in the future.
Yeah.
So he undetermined
date.
Currently in...
Oh, in Delano.
So he'll commute from Delano for...
In the meantime.
All right.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, lucky for him that the winter's over.
And he was willing to take a pay cut, right?
Yes. Yeah.
For those of us on the road all the time.
Yeah. But if it's a year, he'll have to face it on the other end.
That is true.
Yeah.
This is really exciting.
Yes.
Yeah, it was
sounds
very
like
exciting.
A high quality
even in his interview, it was very exciting. Talking about all the things that he saw here and what he would want to do and they should try this. And
vision.
He actually...
Yeah, lots of vision.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And even in emailing him some this morning, too, he said they spent all day here on Saturday, him and his wife, just kind of, viewing the community and driving around. And so,
nice.
And I'm sure looking at houses, too, long term. But, he was... Mm-hmm. Very excited.
And Sam, how about salary wise? Have you talked about salary and negotiated that? And
yes, we did.
Workable?
Yes. Yep. And he did, Vicki had just mentioned it too, he was willing to take a pay cut to come here because he is working for, the Department of Labor, or not Labor, excuse me, HUD. Mm-hmm. He had said he understands, that may be having to happen with the job change he's doing, but that's all been taken care of.
Yeah, but he wanted that.
Yeah,
so.
he definitely wanted this.
Which, to me, then, I feel like if we could get him, in the wintertime, a place to live, so he's not having to drive, since we're going to, I don't know.
Or some kind
of. If we can figure that somehow.
Reimbursement stuff of some kind, maybe.
Right.
That's something we could pursue.
Just for that
but.
Time.
I would hope that by the time winter comes back around that he is here.
Already straightened it out.
Is he looking at that long a term?
His daughter graduates. So he doesn't want to make her move. That's the whole thing.
When she graduates next year, 2020?
I thought it was this year, which I didn't know why then it would be.
They have a house to sell. Well,
they have a house.
Maybe he and Aaron can rent together.
There you go. All right.
I mean, I'd never think you could do economic development long distance. But he's a workaholic. So.
Anything else on that hire or anything else that needs to come before the committee this evening?
Look
at the usual suspects. All right, seeing none. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you.